And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." In just a few minutes, this sanctuary will be filled with many flickering candles as we sing, "Always calm, always bright." And for those few moments, it will. Few nights offer such a sense of peace as Christmas Eve, especially when the air is filled with the soothing music of silent night. Right at that moment, we wish that all nights might know this peace. Yet we are aware that just outside the walls of the church, there is a world filled with ongoing turmoil. Our world is not at peace. Not in many places. Peace seems a rare commodity for which to hope. Yet this night we hear of peace, a unique and real and lasting peace, a peace that God announces not just with the words of a few weak and hesitant voices, but with a multitude of the heavenly host filling the skies with chorus of praise. Heaven explodes in celebration. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. In the midst of a world so often tainted by violence and hatred and hardship, a multitude of angelic messengers breaks into the night to announce a living hope. Peace for those on whom God's favor rests. Peace for those on whom God's favor rests. What is this peace that the angels announce so gloriously in a world still shaken in war and bloodshed and violence? And how does such peace grant us hope when mankind still seems so focused on self-destruction, when our hearts feel unrest and relentless anxiety? All of the efforts to stop the turmoil on this planet will ultimately fail. Moments of apparent tranquility will come up, only to descend into the mass of human sin and brokenness. All the counselors in the world can bring years of expertise and words of comfort, but deep down in the heart, something will always be missing. The peace the angels so boldly announced this night is different and enduring and powerful. It does not depend on us. It does not require our efforts. For at the center of our problem, we ourselves are at war with God. We rebel and we fight against his will. If God does not bring peace, we are doomed. We have no hope. Yet this very night, he does bring real peace by sending his own son, Jesus. God comes into our world in human flesh to take our place, to suffer for us, for what we rightly deserve, to die our death, to heal the broken relationships. Yes, he is just a tiny newborn infant at this moment. And it's easy to miss the significance. And that's why the angels gather in such majestic formation with an overwhelming song of praise straight out of heaven's glory. This night marks ground zero for God's eternal peace. It starts here. Hope is reborn. But just how might this hope be reborn in such a dramatic way? St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 that since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has declared holy all of us who have faith in Jesus because of his righteousness. And Paul goes on to declare that through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This peace of a restored relationship with God is a divine gift that leads to a new hope. And not just any hope, but a hope of the glory of God. A hope that extends all the way to eternity. Many who want peace do not understand where real peace comes from. And therefore, they despair when it fails to come. They think they will see peace realized in the next political treaty, the end of the latest war or conflict, the right conditions in their own personal lives, their wishes and wants granted, their lifestyle affirmed. But Paul said that the peace of God is ultimately beyond understanding. At least in purely human sense, it's a mystery of sorts, but not an unknowable mystery. For as Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." Therefore, true peace only comes from Jesus. Not from governments, not from other people, not from drugs, not from a sense of calm and tranquility, which is only temporary at best. Only one person, Jesus. So in that simple manger, surrounded only by common animals and a humble Palestinian couple, is the heart of true peace. In a helpless little child, visited that night of his birth only by the sometimes despised shepherds, not the important leaders we might expect. They come to visit this little one who bears the amazing royal title of Prince of Peace. He is the ruler who brings peace. He has the power to make it happen. But how can I have this peace in a broken world? How can I possibly hope to find it in my often confused and troubled mind? The special charm of this holy night only lasts so long. In a few precious moments, we will leave to the cold outside. The always calm of silent night will be interrupted soon enough. But the author of this wonderful hymn knew that this calm was more than just a soothing song or a comforting lullaby. Sleep in heavenly peace, the stanza ends. Sleep in heavenly peace. He calls for the sleep of peace in this holy infant, so tender and mild. Where we find the holy infant, we find our peace. Where we find the holy infant, we find our peace. Each Sunday that we gather for worship, we are again led to that manger. We are led to the one who brings peace, led to the one who creates peace, lasting peace. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the pastor declares to penitent sinners, and peace is again restored. Peace in the assurance of absolution. This declaration that we are again right with God. He is not our enemy. We are reconciled with Him. Take, eat. This is the body of Christ. The pastor repeats again and again at the altar table of the sacrament. Peace in the life-giving presence of the Christ. A body broken in death on our behalf. Blood shed in payment for our sins. Eaten, internalized. Christ with us, Emmanuel, peace again restored and assured. And from this peace comes renewed hope, even in an unlikely place. It was a great contrast that first Christmas. Who would expect a multitude of angels to announce peace to a bunch of humble shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night? Wasn't anybody better for them to do that? Yet, when a multitude of God's messengers emerge from heaven's glory into the darkness of night, we pay notice. They do not speak often, but when they do, we listen. Carefully, very carefully. And now, we are the ones that sing the hymn in our own worship. God, glory to God on high, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. We sing with joy and hope because moments before, we heard our Lord declare us forgiven. We cried out for mercy and found God's care and concern. He was with us. He heard our cries for help. We have hope. Now we sing a song only angels could sing. A song of peace. A song of hope. A song that sounds into the eternal courts of heaven itself. Glory to God on high. For a moment again, we are on the borderline of heaven. We stand on the very edge between heaven and earth, between our temporal struggles and eternity. And we sense its closeness. Very soon, we too will be there. Hope looks into that eternity and finds joy of what will be. And in that, we hope again and again and again, as long as we are on this earth, until God calls us home. All because peace has come in Christ. Peace has come in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.